Hallelujah. Amen. He loves to be praised. I think Brother Branham said that's the only word that is the same in every language is hallelujah. Amen. This is 113 in your hymn book. Amen. If we could always remember just to leave it there, I think we'd definitely get a lot farther in life. Amen.
If this world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, well, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to him. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. Oh, he will make a way for you, and he'll lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord. Days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care. Oh, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord. Yeah. Oh, leave it there. Leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there. Oh, leave it there, just leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, leave it there. You can leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there.
Amen. Aren't you thankful we can do that? Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, Brother Arnie is a grandpa again. Brother Greg and Sister Megan have a new baby, Violet Rose Bird, She was 8 pounds, 2 ounces. She was born 8:30 this morning. So I'm sure they're excited to have another grandbaby. We'll probably be missing them for a few services here soon. They'll probably be going up to Lima to see that baby, I'm sure. So I want to just praise the Lord for a healthy delivery, and mother and daughter both doing well. So praise the Lord for that. And Brother Layton has a praise report he wanted to share. Last night, little Daniel Allen had a bad headache and stomach ache and was throwing up. And Sister Felicia was going to take him to the doctor. About that same time, Brother and Sister Layton and Sister Cheryl and Brother Paul, they prayed for him. And by the time they got to the doctor, he was healed. So praise the Lord. Amen. They took their burdens to the Lord and left him there. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God like that. Amen. We got a couple of prayer requests. Sister Joanne Beletka is requesting prayer for Sister Norma Dodge. Just want to remember her in prayer for a touch from the Lord. And then Brother Furman also requested prayer for Sister Barbara. She's having severe foot pain, and just want to remember her in prayer. And I think Ethan also had to have some injections today and is recovering from that, so I want to remember him in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Joe, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? You can't hide back there from me, brother.
Man, do you love the Lord tonight? You believe He answers prayer? I've also got a request. A brother texted me on the way over. He said, just pray for him. I'm really going through a battle. So let's just remember him also. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. We just can't thank You enough, Lord. All the songs that we could sing, Lord, would never be enough praise to You, Lord. And our prophet taught us we could never pray enough, Lord. Father, I just, tonight, Lord, we just bind together with our precious brothers and sisters, Lord, tonight. Many hands that were raised, Lord, the many needs, Father, Lord, spiritual, financial, Lord, physical, whatever it might be, Lord, emotional, relationships or whatever it might be, Father, maybe a loved one or something that's away from the Lord. God, You know every need, Father, before the hand was ever raised. And Lord, we know, Father, there's a remedy. There's a balm in Gilead, Lord, tonight. For everything, every need, Lord, every sickness, Father, tonight, Lord. And God, we just stand together, Lord. There's no good in us, Lord. There's nothing that we could ever do, Father, to merit the grace that You've given us, Lord. But, oh God, we're so thankful for what You've done for us, Lord. And we just stand here, Lord, and we plead the shed blood, Father, the purchase of our salvation, Father, for every need, oh God, every sickness, Lord, everything, Father, that we have need of, Lord. We thank You for the praise report, Lord, for the answer of prayer. How many times, oh God, You've answered my prayer, Lord. And it just seemed like there wasn't no way, Lord. And You made a way every time. Lord, I stand here tonight as a testimony, Father, of Your grace. And each one of us, Lord, have a story to tell. And oh God, we just wait and we'll be looking for the answer, Lord. We'll be looking for the report, Father. For every hand that was raised, Lord, we know, dear God, that You'll meet every need. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord, believing in faith. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I believe Sister Jennifer has a special for us at this time.
stars shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. And let your word speak to me and show me.
That tonight. Amen. If the brothers would come at this time, amen. I believe that's truly our desire tonight, just for him to lead us and guide us. Amen. I want to follow him wherever he leads. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Yes, Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Yes, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Our Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. Oh, I know he's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Church, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. My Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. Thank you.
you get there before I do. Coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to. Coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet cherry heart. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet cherry heart. Coming for to carry me home. Well, I'm on my way.
God, oh, be my friend.
walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Is that your desire tonight? Just walk with me, Lord. Walk with me, Lord. Just while I'm on this pilgrim journey, I need you, Jesus, to walk with me. Amen. What a privileged people we are to have him walking with us, amen, leading us and guiding us. Amen. We're truly blessed. Joshua chapter 1, if you'd turn with me tonight. Joshua chapter 1, we're picking up on this thought of speak the word. And I want to start with verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. Brother Bram said many, many times through his ministry, he'd reach over and just open the Bible, and it would fall right here to Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we enter into your presence again tonight. And Father, I just ask that you would be with us. Lord, we want to make you welcome in this place. Lord, not only the physical building, but also in our hearts, Father, we want to make you welcome. Lord, if there's anything unpleasing, Lord, that would hinder you from being welcome, Lord, may we quickly, Lord, get it out of our lives so that you could be welcome, Father. Lord, we just ask you to take complete preeminence of this service. Lord, whatever you would have for us tonight, I ask that you would just move in a mighty way. Lord, as we look into this stage of the journey of the children of Israel, Lord, I hope that we can see a spiritual type of our own journey, Lord. And Lord, may you give us courage tonight to recognize who we are by the grace of God. Lord, not because of anything we did or anything we earned or that we could do by our works, but Lord, because you chose us before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. We just ask you, Lord, to do exceedingly abundantly, Lord, for each need that's represented here. You saw the hands. You heard the requests, Father. You knew about them before they were mentioned or before they were identified by the raising of hands. Father, may you just move on the scene for each need tonight, Lord. Give the people the desire of their heart as it would be in accordance with your will, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. God speaking to Joshua here and giving him his commission to take the people on across Jordan into the promised land. Now, God had shown this to Moses. He had taken him up on Mount Pisgah and showed him into the land. But now Moses dies. But yet we find that even though the physical body of Moses was no longer with them, Brother Bram said, you might be able to kill the man, but you can't kill the message. And even though Moses, by the very first verse of this chapter, has already passed on into eternity, as we looked at it last week, we saw him again hundreds of years later in a theophany body. There he was present on Mount Transfiguration with Christ and with Elijah, and he was identified and represented. So we know that even though his physical body was dead, he was still living somewhere. But yet he's gone on. There's no physical representation of him there. Him being the prophet that brought him out of bondage from Egypt, brought him through the wilderness. Now God commissions Joshua to take them on over into the promised land. And as he says this, Joshua doesn't say, all right, folks, I'm going to be the one to take you on over. Moses isn't here anymore. We're just going to do away with the message, and we're going to start our own following, our own group. We're going to start our own website, and we've got something better now. So we're going to just take you a little bit further than the prophet was able to. He doesn't say that, but in fact, Joshua, there's 51 times in the book of Joshua. Moses is dead. He had angel pallbearers. He's been taken on to glory. But yet 51 times in the book of Joshua, he's pointing back to Moses. Remember what Moses said. Remember the law of Moses. You know what? We're going to sit down and read the law of Moses again. I don't feel like you got it last Sunday. We're going to read you some more quotes this week. And over and over and over again, he begins to point back to what the prophet had said. He wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't embarrassed of it. He didn't say, you know what, the Amorites and the Hittites think we're in a cult, so we're not going to mention Moses' name anymore because we might offend somebody, and some sketches and things that some of the children of Israel had drawn up. We don't want to hang them around the tabernacles anymore because we might offend somebody. But he wasn't afraid of offending anybody. He kept pointing the people back to Moses. I know there's some so-called ministers around the message today that are ashamed of that now. They won't read the quotes in their churches or hang the pictures in their churches, but I just happen to be not one of those. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of his servant William Branham. And Joshua was never ashamed of Moses. He didn't try to come around and correct Moses and say, now look, I want to tell you now, we're getting ready to go in the promised land. Before we do, I want to point out a few things. Moses killed an Egyptian. You know, he really shouldn't have done that. He should have waited on God. And you know, he came over and he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And we're just going to straighten out some of Moses' mistakes. God never called Joshua to do that. And he never sends any minister or priest or king or even another prophet to straighten up another prophet's mistakes. But if there's anything that needs corrected, Brother Branham said it this way, the word for the day corrects the error of the day. When Isaiah went down there to the temple, or to the palace rather, and he walked up to the doorsteps and he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. You're not going to live. And he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And when he did, God said, I'm going to give you more years. God didn't send a priest back to correct the prophet. He didn't send a messenger boy or a pastor or a teacher or a missionary. He sent that exact same prophet back with an update to the message of the day. Now, it didn't change, thus saith the Lord, the first time. He still died. God just gave him grace to extend it a little while longer. But I want you to notice that he didn't send another man around to correct Isaiah's words, but he sent Isaiah himself back. Amen. You say, well, Brother Branham corrected this and he corrected that. Well, if he corrected it, praise the Lord. Thank God for more light. But if he didn't correct it, you better not lay your hand to it. If so, you must think you're somebody greater than Joshua or some of these other men that followed in the footsteps of these prophets. So they're getting ready to go over across the Jordan. They've been commissioned. God has given Joshua a calling. He's given him an anointing. Caleb has an anointing on him that here they are, men out of this first group of the children of Israel that went out of Egypt. All the rest of that generation has died off, and they've got this young group that they're taking over. Brother Bram said it this way. I know there's many men that they claim, you know, oh, they rise up in India and Africa and the United States and everywhere, and they think that they're something and they're going to have a Joshua ministry or this, that, or the other. But Brother Bram said the Holy Ghost is our Joshua. Amen. But I do believe the Holy Ghost uses men and anoints ministries. But if I'm looking for a Joshua ministry, it's going to be the bride of Jesus Christ moved by the Holy Spirit to prepare a bride to get her ready. It's not going to be an individual or another message or another leadership or another something like that. No, we've had that. I had my absolute. I'm not looking for another one. And we had our message. I'm not looking for another one. I'm not looking for some minister to get up and straighten out Brother Branham and take us further on into the Word. He took us as far into the Word as we could be taken. Now we're waiting for us just to catch up to it. If I can just catch up, if I can live what he taught, I'll be okay. I don't need more of the Word revealed. I just need to live what's been revealed. Amen. And so God begins to tell Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan. And he tells him, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, he's not giving him a new message. He's reminding him of what he told Moses. And as Joshua begins to go over, he tells him, everywhere the foot of your the soles of your foot steps, that's your possessions. I would like just to walk around the promised land a little bit tonight. Brother Branham said, if I was given an inheritance and I had, you know, acres of property, he said, I wouldn't want to just say, well, that's nice. But he said, I want to go and walk around the borders of it and see what was my possession. But many times we leave our possession just laying up on a bookshelf somewhere gathering dust. But I want to tell you tonight, we're possessors. Brother Billy Paul said it this way one time. He said, I don't want to just be a professor. I want to be a possessor. Many people profess this and they profess that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a message believer. I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. But if you're going to profess it, why don't we go on a little further into the land and possess it? Now, they could stand there on the banks of the Jordan and look over it and get binoculars and telescopes, and they could climb up Mount Pisgah just like Moses did and look over and say, look at all that that God has given us. We own that down there. Did you know that? Did you know God's prophet said that that's our inheritance? But if they stood there at the banks of the Jordan and was scared to go over and possess what had been given them, then they would have just died out again, and another generation would have raised up until finally, somebody had enough and said, you know what? I'm tired of looking at it. I want to go possess it.
Amen.
I believe it's time that the bride of Jesus Christ, it's wonderful to quote it. It's wonderful to read it. It's wonderful to listen to it. But I hope we can go a little further and possess what's being talked about. Amen. The devil can talk about it. The devil can quote it better than I can. The devil can read it better than I can. He's had thousands of years to read it, but he's unable to be a possessor of it. But I hope tonight that the bride of Jesus Christ, we can begin to raise up a little bit of courage and say like Joshua, you know what? This is my possession. And I don't want to just read about it. I want to walk into these promises. Brother Bram said footsteps means possessions. And when I hear a promise, I don't want it to just be for somebody in 1954 or somebody in the days of Noah or somebody in the days of Moses, but I want to recognize this is my possession.
Amen.
Amen. It's time that we go and possess the land. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, God speaking to him still, giving him some encouragement for what he's going to have before him. He said, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Now notice he doesn't promise him that he would be a prophet like unto Moses, although there was that promise that there would be a prophet like unto Moses that was coming. We saw it fulfilled when Jesus was here on the face of the earth. He said he would send a prophet like unto Moses. But he doesn't promise Joshua, even though Brother Bram does call Joshua a prophet, he doesn't call Joshua, say that you're going to have the same type of ministry that Moses did, that you're going to be a deliverer, that you're going to be a lawgiver, that you're going to be all these things that Moses did. He didn't promise him the same gift that he promised Moses, but he promised him that he would be with him as he was with Moses. I'm not looking for any man to get up and repeat the Son of Man ministry. Brother Bram said it was one to an age, but yet I am looking for God to be with his people. I'm looking for him to lead his people, to guide his people. I'm looking for signs and wonders in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because we're promised them. It's part of our possession. He said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Now he's not giving him a new message. He's not commissioning him to bring another doctrine or another mystery or to bring a new message to the people. He said, you just stay right with that message that the prophet already gave. Don't turn to it to the left. Oh, brother so-and-so thinks it this way. Or don't turn to the right. Well, brother so-and-so said it was going to be this way. You stay right with that message, the way that God had sent it. If there's anything I can encourage you to do, Brother Jack, when he was here and dedicated the building over at the storefront, he preached a message that Brother Darrell really liked because he's in networking and computers and things like that. But he called it Reboot. And he said, sometimes when you've got a computer and it's got a virus or it's got a problem or something like that, you can go in, you can just kind of patch it up a little bit or run some antivirus on it or sometimes you can just reboot it and it'll fix the problem. But sometimes when the problem is bad enough, you have to completely restore and start from scratch. I think what some of us need to do is forget all that we've been taught down through the years. Brother so-and-so said this and sister so-and-so said that. And brother so-and-so in his testimony, he's looking for this. And this pastor over here teaches this doctrine this way. And this brother teaches the thunders this way. And this brother teaches it that way. And forget all of that. And let's go back and see what the prophet actually said about it. It's time that we start completely over and just forget, well, Brother so-and-so said it was going to be this way, and I don't see that being manifested. That's because it was Brother so-and-so's opinion. But I want to go back. Brother Bram said, say what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. Many of these things that people are looking for, they've come up with their own imaginations, and they've had dreams, and they've had ideas, and they've taken testimonies, and they've taken quotes and twisted them to fit their own ideas. But I want to go back to the original and say, what did the prophet say? And then I don't want to turn to the left or to the right. I want to stay right there with what he taught. God help us tonight to be able to just have a complete restoration. Amen. The problem is we had a restoration and then we tacked all kinds of other things onto it. Man-made ideas and ideas of men. You can't wear a certain color clothes, or men can't wear short sleeves, or you can't wear a watch, or you can't wear a ring, or on and on and on. It was never back there. You can't go back and find it for me anywhere in the message or the Bible. But what have they done? They've tacked on all these other things to where sometimes you go into a message church and it doesn't even look like the message anymore. Why? They need a restoration. We had a restoration, but now they need to go back to what that restoration was instead of trying to add all these things to it. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Joshua, what is the secret to your success? What is the secret to your ministry? Why is God dealing with you in such a way, Joshua? And we see all these other men. We've seen our Balaams. We've seen this one. We've seen our Dathans, our Korahs, our Janices, our Jambreses. But why, Joshua, is it that God seems to be moving with the bride of Jesus Christ? Why is it that there seems to be signs and wonders following? Why is it? Because I stayed with the Word. Because I didn't turn to the left or the right. And God promised me that if I would do that, he would make my way prosperous and that I'd have good success. Amen. Amen. I don't think that was just for Joshua. I think the bride of Jesus Christ tonight needs to stay with the Word. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now they come up against their first challenge. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, they're getting ready to cross the Jordan, but yet God picked, Brother Bram said, the absolute worst time of year that they could have crossed, in April when the snow was melting and things, and the river Jordan was swelling. And he said it was much wider than it was during its normal season. It looked like he'd picked the worst time to do it. But you know, if they would have went across when it was a little trickle, God wouldn't have been magnified from it very much. But when God does something, he wants to prove that it's him doing it. We don't have to work up a testimony. We don't have to make up something to try to glorify God. When God does something, he's going to do it in such a way that people recognize that had to be God. That had to be God. I couldn't do it on my own. You couldn't do it on your own. But when God comes in and does it, he does it when it seems impossible for it to happen. But he makes a way anyhow. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Now I want you to notice, and Brother Jack touched on it a little bit, talking about binding and releasing, and how that St. Peter, God had told him, but not only does he tell him that, he also speaks to the disciples later on a more general basis and says, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And he typed that to Moses' ministry, how that he was able to reach down and loose the serpent and then reach down and bind him up. And he was able to reach into his bosom and loose the leprosy, but then he was able to reach back in and bind it up. But I want us to go a little bit further than that tonight in the St. Mark's Gospel. And you can hold your place there in Joshua. We'll come back in just a moment. But I want to look at this tonight, the Great Commission, St. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It said, and these signs shall, didn't say a maybe or a hope so, or well, if you live real squeaky clean for 7 years, it said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, that sounds familiar, If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, Brother Branham was given two signs, and they replicated Moses' signs. We looked at it this weekend, how the signs that was given Elijah, there was many things in his nature and things that was replicated. But now, he's not just talking to the prophet, he's not just talking to the disciples, but he's commissioning his people down through every church age. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Just as Moses took up the serpent, if you have a need, you can do it. Now, I'm not preaching snake handling tonight. I'm talking like when Paul threw the wood in the fire there and a snake bit him. He was in a case of emergency. He said, God, I need you on the scene. He just shook it off in the fire. And they said, oh, that man's a dead man. Oh, he must be a sinner. He must have all kinds of, he's a prisoner. But he must have lived a really bad life because look how God's dealing with him. And then a few minutes later, they was bound down trying to worship him as deity. Because they saw that he was able to survive something that they had seen their neighbors and maybe some of their relatives get bit by the same snake and in a few hours be swelled up and in pain and screaming and dying. And this man walks around the island for a few days. They said, there's deity in that man. They weren't too far from the truth, were they? They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, just as he put his hand into his bosom and it came out without any leprosy. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's not a hope so. That's not a think so. That's a promise to the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 9 of Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeratin, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, just as in Moses' ministry, the walls of the Red Sea were pushed back and they crossed over not in muddy waters or muddy ground, but they crossed across on dry land. Now God is taking his people across the Jordan River. And not only are the Jordan banks walled up, but many thousands of gallons of water would have been pouring in from streams and mountains, the snow melting and different things and tributaries and all that. And it said all those even failed and were cut off. All the tributaries, everything coming into the Jordan just stopped. God said, just wait. I've got a group of people that needs to cross here. Brother Bram said it this way. He said, I love to see in my lifetimes when he said it looks like there's no way around it or over it or under it or whatever. And he said, but God just takes you right straight through it. Maybe there's been trials in your life. You think, Lord, how on earth did you get me through that? He's still Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He's still able. And they walk right across on dry land again. Now, after this, I don't have time to go through it all tonight, but we'll just refer to some of it. After this, they come up against a battle. We know it as the Battle of Jericho. And depending on where you're from, Joshua either fought the battle or fit the battle. To me, he fought the battle, but I know some people sing it, Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. I'm not sure how that works in there unless you're from West Virginia, but he fought the battle is how we pronounce it here in southern Indiana. And so when Joshua goes to fight this Battle of Jericho, he sends two spies out ahead, and they go in, they slip into the city, and they begin to inquire of what's taking place, and they sneak into this harlot's house, and she brings them up on the roof, and they're, you know, the children of Israel are back there scared of the giants. But she begins to tell them a story about how that they had heard all that God had done for them in the wilderness, and that these giants are scared of them. Scared to death of these people that God has delivered. Many times we look at it and we think, oh Lord, don't let me get this and don't let me get that. I'm so scared of this and I'm so afraid of that. But as Brother Bram would stand there in the prayer line and different ones would come through, we find out that the demons were actually the ones that were crying out. It wasn't Brother Branham down there saying, Lord, please protect me of this tuberculosis that I'm getting ready to deliver out this woman. Lord, please don't let it come on me. But it was that tuberculosis demon saying, anybody else out there, a tuberculosis demon, come help me right now, please. I need your help. Scared to death. Why? Because of a man? No, because God was with the man. Scared to death, exposed themselves and their friends. Those cancer demons, they begin to cry out, and he said, oh, there's one over here and one over there, exposing themselves. They were so scared, and the other one would say, why on earth would you do that? I was hiding back there trying to hide from me. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I was so scared, I just needed help somewhere. I cried out to this one and that one and this one, and exposing themselves all over the building. Why? Because the prophet was scared of them? No, because they were scared of the prophet. And now they're journeying to Jericho, and they send in these spies, and they give her a token that her and her house could be saved. I'm thankful we have the same thing in our age. And when they get to Jericho, God tells them, don't take anything. Don't take the spoils or the gold or the robes or the cattle or anything. You just leave all that. Let it be just a sacrifice unto me. And when they get there, they march around 7 times. Finally, the walls begin to fall in. They didn't have to get battering rams or cannons. They didn't have to tear down the walls. They didn't have to sneak in at night and do like some of these guys try to break out of prison and chip a little bit away at the walls of Jericho every night. I think that's how some of us do with some of our problems. Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I chip away at this little problem a little bit again tonight. Help me, give me a good day tomorrow. And you know all about it. God doesn't just chip away at something a little bit at a time when he's going to do something. God doesn't just heal you part way or whatever it would be. But when God does something, he does it right. When God does something, he does it complete. He didn't send Jesus just to save 2 or 3, but he came to save whosoever will. Let him come. He didn't send Jesus just to save those that could live righteous for about 18 years on their own. He came and paid the price that Brother Branham said, even in the prayer line, he said sometimes good Christians and what we would think would be holy people and things would walk across and not get healed at all, and prostitutes and things walk into the prayer line and have faith enough to get healed. What is it? It was a law of faith that God had provided. He didn't say if you were good enough. He didn't say if you were clean enough. He didn't say if you were smart enough or if you memorized enough scriptures. He said, on the basis of your faith. And many would come across and get healed, and others that you would think, oh my, I know her, she's a good godly woman, would walk right across and never receive anything. But Brother Branham did say, if you're going to be healed and stay healed, you've got to become a Christian. There were many that could get healed there on their faith, but if they were going to stay healed, they had to become a Christian. Remember, Brother Branham points it out there where Brother Branham at the woman at the well and different ones, and when he would say, thy sins be forgiven thee, and the Pharisees would come around and say, who is this man to forgive sins? He said, what's easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy bed and walk? And James comes around and tells us that if there's any sick among you and the elders of the church come and lay hands on them and pray for them, not only would he heal them, but he would forgive their sins. So Brother Branham said it's the same atonement. Amen. Now whether you keep that or not is up to you. But there's still, the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses men from sin. Amen. This battle, Joshua didn't have to fight it. Brother Branham called him the greatest general that is ever on the face of the earth. And he said, but yet he didn't have to go and make battle preparations. He didn't give them all kinds of military tactics and tell them, now look, I want you boys to go around this way, and we're going to get them in an ambush here, and I want these men on the artillery, and I want these men on the wall trying to tear it down. I want all these different things. He said, the Lord just told me to march. But what about our weapons? He didn't say nothing about weapons. What about our demolition guys? He didn't say nothing about the demolition guys. What about our horsemen and our this and our that? He didn't say nothing about that. He said, you just march. Oh, if we could just keep marching in Jesus' name tonight. You just keep marching forward. But I've got this problem, Brother Nathan. I've got this battle. I'm facing this circumstance. You just keep marching and give the battle to him tonight. He's able to do more about it than we in thousands of years of thought and pondering and meditation and anything we could come up with. He's able to do more in a few seconds than we could do in thousands of years. You just give it to him tonight. By the battle of Jericho, it wasn't Joshua's battle, it was God's battle. God fought for Israel. Then we find they go up to fight this little country that compared to Jericho seemed like a little puny group of people. The men of Israel even told Joshua, said, look, hey, we took Jericho so easy. We don't need all these men. Just give us a couple thousand men. We'll go wipe Ai off the map. And he sends them down to Ai. And when they fought the battle of Jericho, Brother Ram says it this way. He said they didn't need no Red Cross. They didn't need no nurses. Can you imagine sending your men out to battle? Where's our nurses? Where's the Red Cross? Where's the men, the doctors, and the men with all the pain medicine and the morphine and the bandages? We're not going to need it. Why? God's going to fight our battle. They didn't need an ambulance. They didn't have a casualty. They didn't have a paper cut. God fought the battle for them. And they go to Ai and they begin to lose a few men. And Joshua was spiritual enough to recognize something is wrong here. Now, most of us, we would go fight a battle and just lose a handful of men. We think, well, praise God, we only lost a few on that one. But he was spiritual enough to recognize we took Jericho without getting a paper cut. We took Jericho without needing a bandage or a Band-Aid. We didn't need any peroxide. We didn't need anything. We didn't need any Epsom salt to help our muscles that were sore from the battle. God just wiped them out completely, and all we did was just march around the city a few times. He was able to recognize there's something wrong here, and he calls the people together for a solemn assembly. And we find out that there was sin in the camp and that this man named Achan had begun to hide some things back from Jericho when they were told, you leave everything that's in Jericho and don't take anything. But he got a little greedy and he began to think, you know what, well, I need some type of retirement plan here so that I can, you know, I know Moses is already gone and good Lord, Joshua, he's a ripe old man, and Caleb, he's in his 80s, and I don't know how long these brothers are going to be with us. I don't know who's going to raise up in success. After this, I've got to have a backup plan. Let me tell you tonight, I have one backup plan. Amen. Amen. I'm just dependent on God and His Word. That's my backup plan. Amen. I don't need to figure it all out and have all kinds of backup plans and things, but Achan felt like he needed a backup plan. So he hides a robe and some gold and some things like that, and he buries him underneath his tent. And when he did this, he didn't only condemn himself, but his entire family was represented with this. Many times, the little things we begin to let slip in, it doesn't just affect us, but it begins to affect our families. And Brother Bram said it this way. He said, the man used to sing the song, We let down the bars. He said, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? He said, because you let down the bars. And many times we begin to look at our children and we think, you know, they're struggling with this and they're struggling with that. They're tempted with this and they're tempted with that. Many times I wonder as parents how often it's our responsibility, some of the things that our children deal with, because we let down the bars a little bit and then they have to struggle with these things because it affected them, and maybe it'll affect the next generation and the next generation. Why? Because you let down the bars. Amen. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. The sin of Achan didn't just affect himself, but it began to devastate his entire family. Once this is behind them, now God tells them, go down to Ai, and oh, by the way, you can keep anything you want. If he would have just waited on God. He wanted that garment and that gold and all these things. If he would have just waited one more battle, God tells him when they go to Ai, you keep what you want. You keep the sheep, you keep the gold, you keep the garments, you keep whatever. What was Achan's sin? It wasn't that God didn't want to bless him. It was that he got ahead of God's program. Many times we, in our fear, we get ahead of God's program. Well, I need this and I want that and I think it'll be this way. And we get ahead of God's program, we'll get in trouble every single time. But if we'll just wait on God. Just wait on God. Many times, you know, some of the young people, they try to get ahead of God. And they're gonna go out and find themselves a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it is. If you wait on God, He'll send you the right one. Brother Branham said, there's someone for you, just wait. But many times we get ahead of God's program, and what do we find? It never works out. It always fails. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, look at my age, look at this, look at that. It doesn't matter. You depend on God. You trust in God. You know what? I would have rather waited till I was 70 and got the one that God wanted for me. Thank God He sent it to me at the time when I was ready. I said, Lord, I can't wait much longer. She was 4 years older than me, and she was definitely saying, Lord, I can't wait much longer. I'll hear about that one tonight. But I'm glad I waited on God. But I would have rather waited till I was 70 and got her then, if that was God's will, than to get ahead of it and got the wrong one. Brother Nathan and his wisdom, Brother Nathan and his thinking, there were many times that I would have gotten a mess. And I wouldn't have been able. I ran into one of my ex-girlfriends a few months ago, and I was thinking how that God protected me. If it had been my choice, I would have probably been divorced by now after I saw her. I wouldn't have been able to stand up here and have the type of services that we're having. I would have been a mess. I would have been backslid or put a gun in my mouth or been on all kinds of trouble. I don't know what would have been my path. But God in his grace preserved me. There's many times God in his grace preserved you. Maybe it wasn't from a marriage. Maybe it was from a bad business deal or from a poor decision about your children or a poor decision about this. Many times, if you'll just step back and wait on God a little bit, he'll preserve you. But if you get ahead of him, you'll make a decision that you'll regret the rest of your life. Brother Bram said, a man should pray earnestly. I don't believe that just goes for a man. I believe a woman, when she's accepting, she should pray earnestly too, or they could ruin their entire life. Achan got ahead of God's program, ruined his entire life, ruined his family's life. We look at him as almost a byword now, the sin of Achan. You know, you're just an old Achan, or you're this or that. Why? Because he got ahead of God's program. I would rather wait on God's program. You say, oh, I need this financially. I need this. I need that. I need all these different things. I would rather wait on God and his timing and it come his way than get ahead of God and regret it the rest of my life. Well, I don't know who that was for tonight, but maybe it'll help somebody. Amen. They go to fight this second battle of Ai, and it's completely different because there's not sin in the camp now. They go and they wipe out Ai. They surround them. They take the camp. And now God says, you keep whatever you want. You want the gold, keep it. You want the silver, keep it. You want the robes, whatever. You can keep it. But he wanted them to sacrifice to him first. He wanted them to take what they took of the battle of Jericho and sacrifice it to him. And Achan said, no, I want to hold a little back for myself. Now he goes on. Achan's dead. They go fight the second battle of Ai, and they defeat it. They defeat Ai. And in all that, God comes around and says, now you can have what you want, if he would have just waited on God. Amen. Joshua chapter 8, verse 34. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of Moses. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversing among them. Now, he didn't say, now we're just going to take after 63. We're just going to take after then. He didn't say, we're going to leave out this portion or that portion. Or, you know, we feel like before this certain spot it wasn't inspired. Or only when he said, thus saith the Lord, was it inspired. He read all the words of Moses. As we would say today, 47 to 65. I'm sure they had a long service. He got up there and said, well, folks, I don't have a quote for you. I don't have a sermon for you. We're just going to read all the words of Moses. And all the children said, you've got to be kidding me. Maybe he broke it up into a series. I don't know how he did it. But he read all the words of Moses. He shared it all with them. He wasn't ashamed of any of it. Amen. Let me tell you this evening, there's not a tape that I'm ashamed to play you. There's not a quote I'm ashamed to read you. There's not a scripture or a verse or a chapter that I would be ashamed to share with you. I stand for the word of God. My wife was trying to teach it to my little girl on the way to church, the B-I-B-L-E. I stand upon the word of God. Amen. I believe that should be more than a song. I believe it should be more than words. But I don't think there should be any portion of the word of God that we're ashamed of. Amen. Joshua chapter 9 verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now Moses had commanded them not to make any leagues with the nations of the land that they were going in to possess, because they were to possess it completely. But the men of Gibeon, they recognized, look, Jericho, gone. Ai, gone completely. You know where they're coming next? They're headed to Gibeon. And I hear they're going to be here in a few days. We've got to do something, or we're going to be just like Jericho and Ai. Did you hear what God is doing for these people? And so one of the men, maybe one of the kings or the princes, said, I have an idea. Let's take our shoes and run them through the mud, throw dust all over us, get old sacks and wear them like we've been out in the desert for days and months. And let's get some old moldy bread and all these provisions and things that look like we've been traveling for months and months. And let's go and act like we've come from a far journey, and we'll have them make a league with us so that they don't destroy us. They were pretty smart. And they go in. And they stand there before Joshua and they said, make a league with us. Now this is, it looks seemingly a mistake that Joshua makes here, because Moses told him, don't make a league with any of these nations. But yet they're deceiving Joshua in doing this. And they said, would you make a league with us? We come from a far country, even though they were his next door neighbors. And so he goes and he makes a league with these men. But yet there's these five kings that come up and they hear that Gibeon has made a league with Joshua. And they said, you know what? Now you've really done it. You should have sided with us, but we're going to come and we're going to wipe you off the map anyhow. And they start marching to Gibeon. And the men of Gibeon get word of it, and they send to Joshua and say, now look, you made a league with us. And Joshua told them, once he found out they was his neighbors, he said, look, you're going to be our servants all the rest of your life. You're going to be cursed and be our servants because you deceived us. But he said, we're not going to wipe you out. We'll make a league with you. Now, they go and they send messengers to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 6, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, we look at this, and in the natural eyes, it looks like Joshua made a mistake. Why wouldn't he discern this? Why wouldn't he see that these men were deceiving him? And it looks like it's a mistake, but God turns it right around. And they would have had to march for miles and miles and miles, march the whole army all around to all these different kings. All of these different kings that were coming down now against Gibeon of the Amorites, they would have had to go and wipe out this king, and then they would have had to have another campaign and go wipe out this king, and then another campaign. All five of these kings, they would have had to travel and fought and traveled and fought. And God said, you know what? I'm going to let the Gibeonites come in and just put a little trick over him. And yeah, I could reveal it to him and show him what they're doing, but I'm going to just save Joshua some time and save the army a lot of marching. Right. And I'm going to get all five of these men right there where he can just wipe them out at once. When God does something, he does it right. Amen. Maybe Joshua could lay there overnight and say, Lord, why didn't you reveal to me what these men of Gibeon were doing to us? God said, I've got a plan. You just trust in me, Joshua. I've got a plan. Oh my, verse 9. Joshua therefore came up unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up into Bethhoron and smote them to Azekah and Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of Bethhoron that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God fought their battle for them. And here they are fighting away thinking they're doing a pretty good job, and God's slaying more with hailstones than they're slaying on their own. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel.
Amen.
It was the Lord that was fighting their battles. And Joshua stands there. Brother Bram said he was telling this, and Sister Rebecca, his daughter, said, "Daddy, we just learned in school that the sun doesn't move. So how could he tell it to stop? The sun doesn't rotate like the earth." And he said, "Well, if the earth would have stopped, it would have lost gravity and everything would have spun off of it and everything." But it didn't matter whether he stopped that missile out there or not, whether he stopped the physical sun. He said what Joshua was talking about was that shadow of the sun going across the land. They needed daylight for a few more hours to fight. And he said, "Lord, if you can give me a few more hours of daylight, we'll wipe them out. But if we don't get them today, they're going to regroup and come back up against us." And so Brother Bram says it this way in Why Christ Speak, 1963. He said he didn't fall on his knees and say, "Lord God, what shall I do? What shall I do?" He spoke. He had a need. He said, "Sun, stand still." He didn't cry to nothing. He commanded, "Sun, stand still. I've got a need of this. I'm the servant of the Lord, anointed for this job, and I got a need. Stand still and don't you shine. And moon, you hang where you're at," till he fought the battle through and whipped the whole thing down. He said, and the sun obeyed him. Obeyed the voice of a man. The Bible said that from that time there hadn't been until this time a day when the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man like that to say and command and speak to the sun. To stop the shadow of the sun from moving across the earth. Why? Was it because Joshua had the ability? Absolutely not. He couldn't no more stop it than you could grow yourself another 3 inches tonight. But he had authority.
Amen.
Brother Bram said that little policeman goes out there with his badge. And he holds up that badge and a 300 horsepower, 2-ton car coming at him. He said he don't have power to stop it no more than anything, but he has authority. The whole authority of the city and the government and everything else is behind him. Why? Because he's representing that authority. But as far as power to stop it, it would just plow him right over. Joshua could speak, and he didn't have power to squash a bug hardly, but he had authority to speak to the sun.
Right.
I don't have much power tonight, but we do have authority.
Amen.
We've been commissioned. We've been anointed to do a job. We've been anointed as the bride of Jesus Christ. He's told us what we'll do and what we're able to do. Why? Because we have power? Absolutely not. But because our authority is recognized not only on earth, but in heaven.
Amen.
Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. You mean we can just go about and name it and claim it? No. Brother Bram said your motive and your objective has to be right. I don't think I could go out and say, "Lord, I speak a Ferrari into existence and my motive and objective be right." But I believe if I was broke down on the side of the road somewhere and needed to get somewhere in an emergency, I could say, "Lord, you do something to this car," and he'd come along. He might not swap it out for a Lamborghini, but he'd sure, fix up that one, I believe.
Amen.
Get me where I needed to be going. Why? He's still God.
Amen.
He's still a provider. He's still a way maker. It's not name it and claim it and that we're just going to go out and speak whatever we want. But in the time of need, I believe that there's power and authority that's been commissioned to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I like this. Unbelief does not hinder God. 1962. He said, "I'd like to see for somebody to take their unbelief and stop the sun." He said, "Well, you say your faith." Oh, yes, it did. Joshua did. Faith will do it, but your unbelief will get nowhere. Let me take it a step further. I'd like to see some of them with their unbelief heal the sick or raise the dead or have signs and wonders following. All their unbelief has produced is some websites, some false claims, but I don't see any testimony pages on those sites saying God healed this one and God delivered that one and God filled this one and God raised that one. Amen. I can point you to some other churches where things like that are going on because of belief. But unbelief isn't going to produce anything except a bunch of garbage. man with their unbelief, all these kings that came up against Joshua, they couldn't produce anything like that. But this one man commissioned by God speaks and the sun stands still and gives them enough light. Now, it looked like to the outward man, Joshua, this is the greatest mistake you made in your entire ministry, making this league with the Gibeonites. Moses commanded you, don't make no league with these nations. And you stayed right with the word of Moses all this time. And then you failed this one time because you were deceived by the Gibeonites. Looked like his greatest mistake. And God turned around and performed the greatest miracle in his entire ministry, right in the middle of it all. God could have protected him from it. God could have revealed to him. God could have gave him a dream, or God could have showed him. The angel of the Lord could have came down and talked to him just like he did other times and said, Joshua, these Gibeonites, they're deceiving you. But God didn't do it because God had a purpose in it. And what looked like a mistake, God turns it right around for his glory, performs one of the greatest miracles that was ever done in all the history of the world. And not only that, but says, Joshua, I'm going to save you a few thousand miles of walking. Let's just go ahead and wipe out all five of these kings right here.
Amen.
Paradox 1962, he said, now it wasn't for Joshua only. It was for any believer that can take God's word.
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come tonight, I'm trying to close. He says this in Who is God in 1950. Joshua stopped the sun. Is that true? Somebody said, all things are possible with God, nothing impossible. He said, but all things are possible to you also. Let me read it again. Somebody said, all things are possible with God, nothing impossible, but all things are possible to you also.
Amen.
Nothing impossible to them that believe. All things possible, brought right down and made you, if you just know who God was. He said, well, I'm afraid that the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that Holy Ghost-born men doesn't realize their authority where, or the authority that God has permitted to his church. I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I give you power over serpents and all kinds of diseases. Oh, everything and nothing shall harm you. He said, exercise your faith. Let it loose. Let God have his way. God will grant it to you.
Amen.
Wasn't just for Joshua. It's to the believer that can take God at his word. Amen. Wasn't just for God. All things are possible. But he said, all things are possible to you also. He said, it brought it right down to me and you.
Amen.
Brought it right down to us. He places it in our laps tonight. I've gave you my word. I've gave you my prophet. I gave you the message. I've gave you every promise that you can think of. When there's a need, we don't have to say, is God able? Is God willing? Will he do this? Will he do that? He's more than able if you'll just take him at his word.
Amen.
What about you tonight? What need do you have? You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to wonder. Doubt and unbelief will produce nothing. But if you can just place your faith in the word of God, claim it for yourself. Say that promise wasn't just for somebody in Jesus' days or the disciples' days, but every promise in the book is mine.
Amen.
He said it wasn't just to Joshua, it was to you. You say, well, what about it, Brother Nathan? Can you stop the sun? I don't feel like I have any need to. But I feel like if there was a need, if it was a life and death matter, we had a need, I believe the bride of Jesus Christ can join together. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, I'll do it. He didn't put a disclaimer and say that discludes this, this, and this. And if you live in this area and you go to this church, and if you do this and you do that, and if you don't, this isn't a possibility, it's going to expire on a certain date, and it's only for a certain group, and it's only for this. He said, if you ask anything in my name, and don't doubt. There's the disclaimer. Don't doubt. You can have it. He said, if any two should agree as touching anything, they can have it. That's a promise. He didn't say there were restrictions. Didn't say it was subject to change. Didn't say it was a limited amount. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. I believe it tonight.
Amen.
You have a need? Why don't you just accept what God's already done for you? You facing a battle? Joshua was facing battles. He just gave the battle to God. Said, God, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to take Jericho. I don't know how we're going to get over those walls or under them. I don't know how we're going to defeat those giants. God said, don't worry, Joshua. I've got this. I've got this. You don't worry. You just give me the battle. Amen. I hope we can give him our battle tonight. I hope we can recognize this is more than just a testimony or just a story of something that a man did years ago. But the same God that was with Joshua is present here tonight. You say, well, my needs, Brother Nathan, I've got this and I've got that and I'm facing these things and all that. He said, all things are possible to them that believe. He didn't just limit it to God or Joshua or Moses or Brother Branham. All things are possible to them that believe. I hope we can recognize who we are tonight. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're trying to work up the bride of Jesus Christ into something. Only what she's been promised.
Amen.
Amen. I'm only trying to work her up into what she's been promised. If we can just recognize that, we'll be doing okay. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this tonight. Amen. Before we sing, Brother Layton just got a message, Brother Joshua, from your wife, Sister Esteris. Her blood sugar spiked to 425, and we just want to pray for her tonight. Satan's been trying to fight her and give her physical problems and things, but we just preached a sermon all over it. Ask what you will. Amen. How many will agree with me tonight? Jesus said it just took two. We got more than two here tonight. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. It doesn't take a lot of numbers. It doesn't take a lot of work up or anything like that. Just take simple faith in his word. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he's in our midst. Then that means he promised that he would be here. He promised that if any two would agree as touching anything, that he would move on the scene. Let's agree together for our sister tonight. Amen. That by the time Brother Joshua is able to contact her, the whole situation has changed. Amen. You believe he's able tonight? All things are possible to them that believe. You believe tonight? Brother Branham said it would be a sin for us to disbelieve. After all we've seen, after all God has done, it would be a sin for us to believe that he could do this. He's commissioned us tonight. He's anointed us tonight. Not just the pastor, not just the prophet. He's anointed you as members of the bride of Jesus Christ. Let's agree together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, maybe you place this on my heart tonight just to build our faith for some of these needs that your people are facing. Lord, we speak to this enemy that would try to Lord, take the health of our sister. Lord, that would try to give her problems, Lord, and raise her blood sugars to a dangerous level. We rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, not only for her, but as that demon would get scared in the days when Brother Branham was here in the prayer line. Lord, we speak to that demon of diabetes, Lord. Any one of them that's represented here tonight, Lord, we curse that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give the battle to you tonight. Lord, not because we have power, but because you've commissioned us, you've called us, you've anointed us, you've ordained us, Father. And we believe that we have authority that's been given us by the word. That you said if there's any sick among you, Lord, let them lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lord, you said, Father, that there was authority in the bride of Jesus Christ to speak the word, Father. Lord, we claim this for our sister. You said, Father, that if any two would agree, Lord, we agree together tonight for these healings. Lord, for every need that was represented, for the needs on each heart. Lord, the ones that are thinking, Father, maybe of their own family situations or their own physical needs or their own financial situation. Lord, we speak to those needs tonight. Lord, not by our own power, but by the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may every mountain be moved. May every doubt be pushed aside. Lord, may you give us unwavering faith to accept what you've done for us. Lord, may we go about and claim some of our possession tonight. Lord, may we walk out into the pages of the Bible and accept the promises that you've given us. Your prophet said footsteps meant possessions, Lord. May we just walk around in some of those promises tonight and accept what you've done. Lord, as our personal property, as our inheritance, as our right, as the bride of Jesus Christ, Father, we believe we have an inheritance. Lord, as David said in the Psalms, remember the Lord and forget not his benefits. Lord, I'm thankful for some of these benefits that we're gleaning from tonight. Lord, there's so many benefits to serving you, Lord. We don't serve you for the benefits, but we sure thank you for them, Father. Lord, we serve you because we love you, Father, and we love you because you first loved us. But I'm so thankful tonight for some of the benefits. Lord, healing, salvation, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, meeting our financial, spiritual, emotional, all these needs, Father. Lord, I'm thankful for your benefits, Lord. Help us not to forget that you're a God that hears and answers prayer, that cares for these situations in our life, Lord. May testimonies come forth. Lord, we speak it tonight in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe tonight? Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not our strength, but in our weakness, he's made strong. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, Lord, oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's more than a song tonight, it's a promise. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing it together tonight. We've been made more than conquerors. Testimonies begin to come forth. We'll give all the glory. Yes, Lord. Oh, I want to tell of his love. I want to tell. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Your heart's desire tonight. Let's sing it again together tonight.